The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and said to them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They answered him. He said to them,
"I am."
Judas, his betrayer, was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So he again asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They said,
Jesus
answered,
"I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have not lost any of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword into its scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father gave me?"
So the band of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guards seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was better that one man should die rather than the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So the other disciple, the acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in. Then the maid, who was the gatekeeper, said to Peter, he said,
"I am not."
Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made because it was cold and were warming themselves. Peter was also standing there keeping warm. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered him,
"I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in a synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gather. And in secret I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said,
"Is this the way you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm, and they said to him, he denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said, again, Peter denied it, and immediately the cock crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was morning, and they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order not to be defiled, so that they could eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said,
"What charge do you bring against this man?"
They answered and said to him, at this, Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law."
The Jews answered him, in order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled that he said, indicating the kind of death he would die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?"
Pilate answered,
"I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?"
Jesus answered,
"My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here."
So Pilate said to him,
"Then you are a king."
Jesus answered,
"You say that I am king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Pilate said to him,
"What is truth?"
When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them,
"I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?"
They cried out again,
"Not this one, but Barabbas."
Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged, and the soldiers wove a crown out of thorns and placed it on his head and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said, and they struck him repeatedly. Once more, Pilate went out and said to them,
"Look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him."
So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak, and Pilate said to them,
"Behold the man."
When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them,
"Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him."
The Jews answered,
"We have a law, and according to that law, we must die, because he is the Son of God."
Now when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid and went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus,
"Where are you from?"
Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him,
"Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and I have power to crucify you?"
Jesus answered him,
"You would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin."
Consequently, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out,
"If you release him, you are not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar."
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench in the place called Stone Pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was preparation day for Passover, and it was about noon, and he said to the Jews,
"Behold your king."
They cried out,
"Take him away, crucify him."
Pilate said to them,
"Shall I crucify your king?"
The chief priests answered,
"We have no king but Caesar."
Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Now many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate,
"Do not write the King of the Jews, but as it is said, I am the King of the Jews."
Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. So they said to one another, "In order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots.'" This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples there, whom he loved, he said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
And then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said,
"I thirst."
There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of it will be broken." And again, another passage says, "They will look upon him whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus. And Pilate permitted it. So he came and took his body. Nicodemus, the one who had first come to him at night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it with burial cloths, along with spices, according to the Jewish burial custom. Now in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, and where no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by. The Gospel of the Lord.
We can draw so much strength from this gospel that we just heard. We can draw so much strength from the passion of Jesus. The Lord became one of us, born in a cave, a dirty cave in Bethlehem. He went through 33 years of life on earth, and then he ends his life, as we just heard, through his passion on Calvary. He did all that to show us that he stands in solidarity with each and every human being. God stands in solidarity with us in Jesus Christ, because God became one of us and experienced every pain imaginable, if not worse, that any human can have experienced. The God that we worship knows what it's like to be alone. The God whom we worship knows what it's like to be poor, to be cold, to be hungry, to suffer pain. God stands in solidarity with us, and we can find so much strength, we can draw so much strength from the passion of the Lord if we stand in solidarity with Christ. Think about it. No. When the people are calling for Barabbas to be free, a murderer, a traitor, an evil person, when the people call for Barabbas to be free, how do you think Jesus felt? Forgotten, alone, afraid. When we feel rejected, forgotten, alone, let's think of that. Jesus standing there, humiliated, naked, bruised, crowned with thorns, scourged. And we can draw so much strength from that moment where Pilate says, "Behold the man." He points to Jesus, not just for those people out there in the crowd. He points to Jesus for our sake too. We must behold Jesus, take pity, but not only take pity on him, on Jesus in his poor condition, but we must also draw strength from Jesus standing there. Stand in solidarity with Jesus and draw strength from that moment. When Jesus stands before Pilate in the first station of the cross, think of all these people who are waiting for test results, for example. One day, we'll cross that bridge too. No, we're going to be waiting for test results, and those test results will not always come back in our favor. The doctor will pronounce a death sentence over us. You have X amount of weeks, months, days to live. Think of how Jesus felt when Pilate sentenced him to death, to crucifixion. Huh? Jesus stands in solidarity at that moment when he's condemned to death. He stands in solidarity with every person on earth who knows how much time they have left during their life. When Jesus meets his mother, the fourth station, Jesus there stands in solidarity with every person who is separated from their family, whether they're an overseas worker or they're being separated because of legal issues. Jesus knows what it's like to be separated from loved ones, and he stands in solidarity with every person separated from their beloved when he meets his mother and is then separated from her again. When Jesus, his face is wiped by this woman, Veronica, he stands in solidarity with everybody who has no hands, who can't do anything for themselves, the elderly who are incapacitated, those who are mutilated, who know, you know, everybody, God knows what it's like to not be able to help yourself. And so this woman comes and wipes the face of Jesus in an act of charity. When Jesus falls these three times during the way of the cross, he knows what it's like to think that we just can't do it anymore. Jesus knows what it's like to feel like we have to give up. He stands in solidarity with everybody who's at the last straw. When Jesus stands naked and exposed, I think it's the 10th or the 11th, the 10th station, when Jesus is stripped of his garments, he knows what it's like to be humiliated. He stands in solidarity with every person who is poor, who needs clothing, with every person who is embarrassed, who is put to shame. God knows what it's like. And so onwards with the station of the cross, when Jesus dies on the cross, he knows what it is like to experience death, the ultimate problem that we all have. God knows what it's like to be human. Our God knows what it's like to suffer. Because God stands in solidarity with us. Brothers and sisters, when we think we can't do it anymore, when we feel condemned to death, when we fall, when we feel like we can't do anything for ourselves or for others, let's look to Jesus. Let's stand in solidarity with Jesus and draw strength from his passion. We draw strength from so many wrong places, so many times, from wrong friendships to substance abuse to looking for pleasure in food and sex and drugs and in whatever. No, but why don't we find strength from the cross? Why don't we find strength in the example that Jesus gives us in his own self? Then we get not only a temporary fix, we draw supernatural strength from the Lord who offers himself to us. Brothers and sisters, may the passion of the Lord be alive in our hearts. May the passion of Jesus be alive in our hearts. May it never be just a story we read and we hear every Holy Week. May Jesus' passion truly be alive. Amen.